16 through 18. James, the fifth chapter, 16 through 18. Bible reads, and the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he had committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectuate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with nature like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. May the Lord add a blessing for those that follow and do his will.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. But their fruit, you recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. May we see it. I'm going to try to keep with that same little thread we had on this morning about prayer, because it's one of the most important things that we can ever engage in our lives when it comes to knowing who God is and God knowing who we are. Prayer is a wonderful thing for us to make a part of our lives, to make a habit of, to be in practice with, just to pray. The church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul said these words, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, this Jesus Christ, this God in the flesh, our Savior, is able to do above all that we ask, above all that we think or imagine." And what a wonderful idea that is when we look to have God to do anything for us in our lives, when we ask in confidence and in faith that God will do just that, and even beyond that. When we pray, we've got to pray on God's terms. We can't pray on our terms. Prayer must be on God's terms, not ours. The Lord has laid down some specific conditions we must meet when we pray. Can't just all of a sudden just go to God and just do what you want to do, talk to him how you want to talk to him. There are acceptable conditions that we have to meet when it comes to prayer. And the first one is just ask. It's just that simple. Just ask. The first condition of acceptable prayer is to ask. Even though God knows what we need before we ask, in Matthew 6, verse number 8, he still wants us to ask. I mean, you live in your own house with your parents and all that stuff, and when I was growing up, I guess everything was as equally ours as it was everybody else's, but you had to ask to go in that refrigerator. You know that? You can just walk in and just go in the refrigerator. You had to ask to even get some water. It was incredible. They didn't mind you getting the water, but you had to ask first. And that's the first condition of acceptable prayer to God is to ask. Asking it shall be given. For everyone that asks, receives. James uttered something similar. He says, "Ye have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss." You ask in the way that you want to ask. Don't forget to the church at Ephesus, he said that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Even what we are thinking now, God is able to do beyond that. That's incredible to me. That's impressive. Things that are not even on my mind that I can't even think of, God will and is now doing those things for me right now. Right now he's doing them. So that condition of prayer, that acceptable condition, is to ask God. First of all, the second one is about our faith. How much faith do we have in God when it comes to our prayer life? In James 1, 5 through 8, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, you got to ask God. Because he gives wisdom to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For let not a man think that he will receive anything of the Lord if he doesn't ask in faith, if he's wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, when you think about that, we ask God for a whole lot of things in our lives. And some people have even coined the phrase, we give it to God and we take it back. We take it back. But James says that when we waver in our faith about the things that we ask God for, we simply will not get those things because we're double-minded. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus told us a story. He says, when they had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But you just say the word. You don't have to come, Lord. You just say the word and your servant will be healed." You know, sometimes people come to you and they ask you to pray for them because they're really sick. But they don't want to go to the doctor. They don't have any faith in the things that God has put in place for them to be healed at all. They want somebody to touch them or push them on the head and they fall on the ground and they be healed. Let me tell you something. Medicine works. Amen. God has allowed man to create medicines that we might be healed of those things that ail us. But we have a different idea. Sometimes you ask a sick person, you want to have a prayer, you want to be healed? And because they don't have that faith in God, that God can say the word and they'll be healed, they say, well, I guess it won't hurt at all. It won't hurt to pray. It will not hurt, but it will not help either if you don't have the faith to believe that what you ask God will come to fruition. You got to believe that. We've got to have the attitude that if God says the word, the job is going to be done. As a matter of fact, before he even says the word, it's already done. God has already done for us what we can even think or imagine is done. We've got to ask, and we've got to ask believing that God will do it. We can't doubt. We can't waver. Because if God can't do it, it simply can't be done. In no one's life at all. Not even on this earth. If God can't do it, it can't be done. But there are a lot of things that God can do. But sometimes we get stuck in the physical. And we believe that everything in our lives physical is what we need to do to serve God with. Let me tell you that there are people that get their legs amputated. Will that keep them out of heaven? Nah. It's only when we get cut to our soul, when our lives are not corresponding to the will of God, will our soul be in jeopardy. And your body is going down to the earth, but that soul will not make it to God because we have not been doing the things that God requires of us to do. Yes, we all want our bodies to be healed, but that's not the end of the road. It's not the end of the road. God deals with the inner man. He wants to heal those who are sick, sick with sin. That's why he sent his son, because we all lost. We were all out there in the world, groping in the darkness, looking for God. And we ought to say in our lives, Lord, you know that I need to be healed. My sins need to be forgiven. But just say the word, Lord. Say the word. I can believe it, and I'll be healed. It's got to be. You got to believe it. We just can't go around just thinking that we're going to be healed simply because we want some kind of self-remedy to be done. Everything has to be done according to God's will. And if we ask for something that's contrary to God's will, we won't get it. Jesus often prayed, oftentimes you see in the scripture, Jesus is saying, not as I will, but as your will, Lord. And John said it in this way in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to the will of God, his ears are wide open. not our will. James 4:15, for this you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If it's his will, we don't need to expect God to grant any requests from us that are not according to his will. But some people do. They pray for things that are not according to his will, not even for their salvation, which is what he rescues us. He rescues us from sin that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. But that's not our concern. Our concern is the flesh. And you want to be rescued from all those things in the world that this flesh might be uplifted and God receive no glory at all. We got to pray according to God's will. That's one of the acceptable conditions. Another one is that when you pray, you got to have the right motive. You got to have the right motive. You know, people will do things to you all the time. They'll come to you, and you think they're trying to do the right thing, but they got the wrong motive behind it all the time. And sometimes it's hard to kind of peg that, but you know full well who people are, whether they're deceitful, whether they're liars, whether they're evildoers. We've got to have the right motive in all that we do. But not all who pray with the right motive. Purpose in our prayer is one of the most important things when we come into God. We've got to have a purpose in our prayer. It's important. The reason why we're praying has to be considered. We just don't just speak words up in the air that's just crazy, unorganized, not even thought of. James says, you ask, you receive not because you ask amiss. You ask amiss because you want to consume it on your own lusts. We pray to God for things that we want, for selfish purposes all the time, because we lust for everything else except the Spirit of God in our lives. It's a fleshly thing, you see. But one thing that people need to know and understand, that a condition of prayer is to ask God with the right motive. We can't ask amiss, because God will only answer those who ask according to his will and not amiss. Any prayer that's amiss, just words scattered in the air, God's not going to answer those prayers. We talk to each other sometimes that way, and we simply don't know what we're saying, but we accept it anyway. And we pass it off, oh, he's just crazy. You don't know what he's saying. You cannot go to God with any kind of crazy prayers. It must be decent and order. Don't just be speaking words out there to God and expect him to figure it out. He knows your heart, but he also knows that you're a fool. We've got to have a purpose, the right motive on our prayer when we go to God. We have got to have ourselves in a condition and situation to be used by God. In order to pray to God, we've got to have the right spiritual condition. You ever went to your mom and you went to talk to her about something, but you went in there all sassy and upset? How far did you get? You're not getting far. You better have the right attitude. You better have the right idea when you walk in there. You better have the right frame of mind, or you will be dismissed in a heartbeat. Let me tell you something. A person cannot live as he pleases and expect God to grant the things that he wishes in this life. You can't live the way you want to live and expect God to. It's just no way. Prayer is designed for those who strive to please God. That's what prayer is designed for. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If all of my life, every day of my life, I'm just sinning, sometimes not even thinking about it because it's so routine in my life, God does not hear us. He will not hear us. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination, Proverbs 28:9. When we don't hear God, we turn our ears away from hearing God, our prayers are an abomination. When Isaiah discussed prayer, he recorded in Isaiah 59:1-2, he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Think about that. God doesn't hear us in our sinful condition because we're crying out for the wrong things. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Where are you in your life? What are you doing? Are you seeking to do those righteous things that God might hear you? Or are you steeped in sin so much that you don't even smell it on you anymore? God will not hear you. A condition of prayer is to be in the right spiritual condition for God to use you. He doesn't hear you otherwise. It pays to be righteous. And if we expect the Lord to hear and grant our petitions, we have got to be a righteous person. That's why James says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man is what avails. Of a righteous man, effectual and fervent. I mean just pouring your heart out to God with a purpose, knowing that God will answer those prayers. We're not talking about a checklist. We're talking about things that are acceptable unto God, that we might know that our prayers are going to be answered. So my question to you is, when it comes to your conditions for praying to God, how you doing so far? How you doing? Are you just basically just uttering words up in the air with no purpose and no meaning, with no motive at all? Just think you're talking to the wall. You're not talking to the wall. We're speaking to the creator of heaven and earth. And let me just say this to you. A lot of people think they can pray to God and be mad with me. It's not going to happen. Nah. You've got to have a forgiving spirit. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So why are you praying for forgiveness of yours when you're not going to forgive mine? It's pretty plain. It's pretty plain. It will do us absolutely no good to pray to God for forgiveness of our sins if we don't have a forgiving heart towards others. Absolutely no good at all. It's just that simple. A lot of folks hold a lifetime of grudges against other people, never trying to work it out, and that's sad. But the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in Ephesians 4:32 that we ought to be kind one to another. We ought to be tender-hearted one towards another. We ought to be forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And then you pray. You get it right, and then you pray. What they say, clean up your own backyard first, right? You get your backyard right, then you can come look over the fence and maybe talk to me in mine. But you can't talk to God in no other kind of way or condition unless you have a forgiving spirit. Here's what Matthew has to say. I'm sorry, John chapter 9 has to say about doing the will of God when it comes to your prayer life. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man does the will of God, God hears him. So you got to ask yourself, am I doing God's will? Because if I'm not doing God's will, God does not hear me. Does not hear me. You might as well forget about praying. Jesus said it best in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you don't do his will, no sense in praying. No sense in praying. No will doing, no praying. It's the bottom line. It's just so plain and simple. God has called us to do certain things that he might hear us. One of them is first and foremost is doing his will, obeying God. Let's go back to John chapter 9 because sometimes we get hung up on that. God does not hear a sinner's prayer, right? Being a worshiper of God, we've got to understand that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God, God hears him. God has always demanded and expected his people to worship him in spirit and truth. When Jesus faced Satan over there in Matthew 4 concerning worship, he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When he conversed with the woman at the well in John 4, he says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When he fell before the feet of the angel to worship him, the angel says, don't do it, Revelation 22:8-9. Don't do it. I want you to worship God. If we're not willing to worship God, if we're not willing to worship God on his terms, you can forget about praying. You can forget about it. It's just a game to you. Forget about praying to God if you're not going to try to do his will. It won't happen. If you won't worship God, if you can't worship God, forget about praying. And what we got to do all the time, because a lot of people think they have authority in all things, we've got to pray with the authority of Christ. That's a condition of prayer. All praying must be regulated by the authority of Christ. And to act by the authority of Christ is to act in his name. We know the scripture. So whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. According to the will of God, according to the authority of Jesus Christ in his name. John 14:13-14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Christ, and God will grant it to us. But men, by their own authority, they feel they can do whatever they want to do, and God sign off on it. We do some of the same things ourselves. We decide we're going to do such and such, and we start doing it, and we have God sign on to it. So yeah, God approves of that until it just falls a big old hole in it. Because God didn't sign on that. You signed on to it, and you added God to it. You put him in the mix. And he didn't approve of it in the beginning. You know, I find it funny sometimes that we make a decision, and then we come and we ask the church to help us in prayer about the decision that we're getting ready to make. Now, we didn't made it already. What's going to change about that? It's got to be by the authority of Christ. It's got to be according to God's will. It's got to be in a situation where it takes you totally out of it. One of the most blessed prayers that you've ever heard in your life is when Jesus was stretched out on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. It wasn't a selfish prayer. He could have said, Lord, you know what? I'm about to get down off this cross right now because I thought I was hurting in the garden, but I'm really hurting right now. The song was written, he could have called 10,000 angels, right? But he didn't do that. He says, Lord, I'm praying an unselfish prayer, God. Hear my unselfish prayer. A lot of our prayers are not by the authority of Christ because they are selfish prayers. We want what we want when we want it, and God has got to deliver. And if God doesn't deliver, here comes that question. Why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? Again, Jesus didn't ask that. Why am I on this cross, Lord? Why not? Why not you? Everyone has their cross to bear. And we pray that we might bear it. Everyone is going to be faced with sin. And we pray that we might bear up under it. Every one of us has to work out our soul salvation before God. And we pray that we hold faithful to the end. Every last one of us has to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we'll give an answer to all those things that are done in the body. Whether we've done them or we've prayed to God to help us get through them. Every one of us are going to give an answer. So if we're going to give an answer, we better start listening to God right now. We better start hearing him right now about what he deems necessary for us to have an acceptable prayer unto him. One last thing we got to do when we pray is we've got to always abide in Christ. Abide. You know, in the parable of the vine and the branches in John 15, Jesus taught these things. He says, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done. What a wonderful condition. All you got to do is just abide. Just do what God asks you to do. And whatever you ask God to do, he says, listen, no problem. I got you. But sometimes we play tit for tat. You know, I did this for you. You done anything for me lately? We bring all those worldly ideas into our relationship with God. And he says at the end of time, you're going to come to me and says, Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, didn't I do that? I don't know who you are. You got to depart from me, ye wicked and evil servant. I don't know you. Why? Why don't I know you? Because you didn't abide in my words. You didn't abide in me. Listen to this again. If you abide in my words, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Isn't that incredible? Just ask God for anything within reason, according to his will, and it's going to be done. Prayer is powerful. It's a wonderful thing. And that's the only way that things can be done in your spiritual life is to pray to God in an acceptable way. But if we fail to abide in the teaching of Christ, we will not be able to ask and expect God to grant anything in our lives. So you got to ask yourself the question, are you abiding in Christ? Are you? Are you doing his will? Here's one last one I want to read to you. Scripture says this over in the book of, come up here, Luke 18. I want to read this to you. It's about a parable of a persistent widow. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He told them a story about a persistent widow who kept going to the king over and over and over again. He says he refused, but finally the king said to himself, even though I don't even fear God or care what people think, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Because she just keeps on beating me down, keeps coming to my door, I'm going to do it for her. I don't even believe in God. I don't know nothing about him. But because she keeps coming to my door, I got to get rid of her. God doesn't get tired of us like that. He wants us to keep beating his door down, doesn't he? Make a path to God and walk that path every day of your life. Be persistent in your prayer life to God. And God's going to be consistent in his answers to you. There's some conditions when it comes to praying in our lives. Prayer is a conditional thing. It's not what you want. You can't be selfish. If we want anything from God, he says we must ask. He says not only should we ask, we must have faith and believe that it's going to get done. He says we must also do it according to God's will with the right motive and be in the right spiritual condition to receive that. We must have a forgiving spirit. We can't expect to be forgiven if we don't forgive. And he says in all things, you've got to do his will and be a worshiper of God. But God does not hear the prayers of those that are unrighteous. Didn't hear that. We've got to be a worshiper of God. We've got to pray by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in all things, if we want to go to heaven, we've got to abide in Christ. He'll hear your prayers if you just meet those conditions. It's all laid out in Scripture. It's not there just for nothing. It's there to help us get to heaven. Men ought to always pray and not give up. But there are conditions to prayer. Don't allow the sinful conditions in our lives to keep us away from the throne of God, because Jesus has went there before us. Matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says that the veil was torn in two, that we might have access to God, for there was a time in our lives when we didn't even have access to God. The old law says only one man went in to the Holy of Holies, and he had a rope tied around him in case he did the wrong thing. They can drag him on out because he would surely die. He would die. If we don't pray to God by the authority of Jesus Christ and do God's will, we're going to die as well. And no rope, no tether, nothing that we can tie around our waist is going to pull us out of hell. Pray to God for our own salvation and for the salvation of this world. That's the least that we can do. Abide in God and do those things he's called us to do. And the prayer, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, fervently praying, will avail much in your life and the lives of others. Pray for this congregation that we continue to grow and be who God has called us to be. Numerical is wonderful, but spiritual growth is a wonderful thing to abound in. Do you know that we are maturing in Christ and becoming who God has called us to be? Because think about it. Nevertheless, he's always said, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He always talks about that word that begins with an F, few, right? Faithful few. Where are you in your prayer life to God? Be faithful. be one of the few. Allow God to change your life. If we can help you do it tonight while you stand as we sing the invitation song.
Why do you